tells us here in the 14th verse of Ezekiel 1, "And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning." In the Bible, there are a lot of interesting people. Some of them are interesting because of what they say. Some are interesting because of what they do. Some are just interesting. Of all the prophets of the Old Testament, Ezekiel was the strangest. His prophecy is hard for a lot of people to understand. They try to read too much into it, make too much out of it, instead of just reading what's there and believing it. He was a priest as well as a prophet. So was Jeremiah and so was Zechariah. His name means God strengthens. And God strengthened Ezekiel. Ezekiel certainly needed the encouragement and the enablement of God. If you read the second chapter of this book, you will find that God told Ezekiel, "I have a message for you, and I want you to go and preach it, but I want you to know before you go that nobody's going to believe it. But you preach it anyway." And I have been encouraged by that throughout my ministry, that whether men and women believe what I say or not, if it's God's message, it's truth, and it's their problem if they don't believe it. This man spent most of his life as a captive in the land of Babylon. He declared God's justice to the people of Israel. And in this chapter, this first chapter, when God calls him to be a prophet, he gives him a message of hope. Not in the politics of the kings, not in the dealings with people in the flesh, but he gives him a message of hope in the purpose and the providence of God. And as we think about September the 1st, 2001, and we think about today, we need to be reminded that God is our hope, that God is our remembrance, that God is our refuge. Now, we're not in the same kind of providential distress that Ezekiel was. But we do live in a world where we're constantly and continuously dependent upon God's provision and God's providence. There are a number of things about God's providence that we need to be reminded of to encourage our faith in God. And this morning, if the Lord will help me, I want to bring you a message that I have entitled God's Sovereign Providence. And I want to try to show you 10 things about God's providence if time allows. Here's the first thing. In this chapter, providence is compared to a wheel. Now, the wheel is oftentimes a symbol of providence. The Greeks and the Romans constantly talked about wheels and how those wheels represented the movements of the gods, as they called them. The people of God often refer to wheels. You know, when you think about a wheel, sometimes a wheel, part of it's on top. At the same time, part of it's on the bottom. Life varies from an overwhelming supply. Some people have that. I guarantee you Donald Trump doesn't have to worry about how to pay for his coffee in the morning. To absolutely empty and unfulfilled desires. There are lots of people in this country, this land of freedom we live in, that don't have enough money to buy them a cup of coffee. We're strong and we're rich and we're great. I hear people say that all the time. But I don't want us to ever forget that you who are strong might become weak. And you who are rich might become extremely poor. And you who are full may become empty. One day men saw Christ coming into Jerusalem. And they began to shout as loud as they could, "Hosanna! Praises to the Messiah!" The next day, those same men stood in the streets of Jerusalem and screamed at the top of their voices, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" You know, on a wheel, one part never moves. And that's the axle. And yet that axle makes the wheel work. Our state is always changing. There's some of you here this morning that have learned about sickness. Some of you have learned about adversity. Some of you have learned about hardship. Some of you have learned about loss. But I want you to know something about God's people that never changes. That's our foundation. The sovereign God who sits on the throne of the universe is our hope. He's our refuge. And the axle of God's everlasting love to his people never, ever changes. Your circumstances may change. They may. Your opportunities may disappear. Adversity may overwhelm you. But I tell you, if you're a child of God, it doesn't have a thing to do with God's love. All my life when I was a little boy, you hear preachers tell that all the time. You know, if you do this, God will love you. And if you don't do that, God won't love you. Let me tell you something. God loves his people, and he loves them all the time. You know. He loves them all the time. And everything that happens in their life happens in his purpose. And for a reason, other things may move, other things may change, other things may fail, but not God's love for his covenant people. You know, when a wheel turns, you don't see anything but the perimeter. I remember when Johnny was learning to drive. Johnny might remember this. One of the first things I told him was, when you're driving down the road and you see a car coming out of a driveway or out of the road, watch the wheels. Don't pay attention to the car. Don't pay attention to the driver. Watch the wheels. If the wheels are still, the car ain't coming. If the wheels are turning, then you better make some other actions. The wheel, when it moves, you don't see anything but the perimeter. There's some boys that live up behind us up there, and they're like a lot of young people today. They got some trucks. It's got wheels on them. Costs more than a truck's worth. And they're beautiful. They look up there. The light shines off of them. The sun glares off of them. But when they move, the only thing you see is the outside edge of that wheel. Those spokes, you can't see them. And I tell you, that's the way it is with God. In all of world history, it's all blurred except God's gracious purpose. Think about all the kings and queens and emperors and all the people that have been in charge in this world. They're all gone. And God's still on the throne. History's a round ring of perfect divine symmetry that declares constantly God's in charge. Take your life. It's just one unit. But think about God's blessed mercies to you. Those airplanes that hit those skyscrapers in New York could have crashed in Duncan as easily as they did in New York. God's in control. Second thing about his providence is that it's connected with angels in a mysterious way. You know, these angels, these living creatures, are God's appointed messengers. God has messengers to humanity. Part of it's in His Word. The majority of it's in His Word. But He also speaks to us through angels. There's an intricate connection between providence and angelic activity. You read throughout this Bible about angels. They come down and do God's work. They make water to open. They make mountains to fall. They make trees to bud. The great wheel of providence is turned by angels who are in constant obedience to God. God sent angels to strengthen Christ. You think about that? When He was up on that mountain 40 days and 40 nights, Satan came and tempted Him face to face, looked God in the face, and dared Him. And when He was gone, the Bible says angels came and ministered to Him. When He hung on that cross, they were there supporting Him. He told the Romans, He said, "My Father could send 10,000 legions of soldiers to take me off that cross." But the angels did what God told them. You know, I'm convinced that every saint has a guardian angel, maybe more than one. Matthew 18:10, it says, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of My Father which is in heaven." I have a guardian angel. If you're a believer, you have a guardian angel. If you're ever going to be a believer, you got a guardian angel. Angels are ministers and servants of the Holy Spirit, and their purpose is to guard, protect, and provide for the saints. They're constantly involved in the works of God's providence. I was sitting out back yesterday, and the sky was turning as black as pitch. And I told the dogs, I said, "Y'all better do your business and go in because it's fixing to rain." I took them back in the house. A few drops had fallen. I thought, "It's going to rain." I put them back in the house. Within 5 minutes, the rain was raining so hard, it was raining sideways. I've never seen the rain blow any harder. It was pouring off the roof of this building. And 5 minutes later, it was dry again, and the sun was out. God's in control. And then God's providence is universal. These wheels had four faces. And they speak of continuous action. You know, providence looks at every corner of the globe simultaneously. Do you know what's going on in Turkestan this morning? Brent just said, "I don't even know where that's at, but I'll go bulldoze it." I'll tell you somebody who knows. The God who rules. He knows what's going on in the Congo, what's going on in China, what's going on in New York City, what's going on in Washington, what's going on in Danville. Providence looks at every corner of the globe. Wherever you are, whenever you are, God's always there. I couldn't find out where Mr. Q was the other day. It was bothering me a lot. It's like the Spirit of God said to me, "I'm taking care of him." That's the truth. Because of his care, the believer can never be banished from God. Wherever you are, God is there. I've been blessed of God to travel all over this country and many countries of the world. And I can tell you, God was always there. There were times, as much as I loved her, that I forgot about my wife for a day or two. I was so busy. But I never forgot about God. You can be in Australia, where they have kangaroos and aborigines and big crocodiles. God's there. You can be in Siberia, where they don't have any of those things. And God's there. You can be in Africa among the elephants and the giraffes and the rhinoceroses. and God's there. And you can be in Atlanta, and God's there. No matter what the condition of my soul, God is the final authority in all things, and that's true of you as well. It's true of you as well. His universal affection heals us when nothing else matters. Now, folks, I'm going on 71 years old, and I've dealt with doctors. And some of them are better than others. But I don't care who they are. There's times they just throw their hands up and say, I don't know. They do the best they can. At least some of them do. And people still die. They throw their hands up and give up. And people still live. Why? Because God is in control. His universal affection heals us when nothing else works. You can treat me any way you want to, but God will always care. I encourage you to keep that on your mind. No matter how much people treat you, you know. They can talk about you bad. They can stick their tongue out at you. They can tell you you're number one or do whatever they want to do. But don't worry about it. God will take care of his people. His eyes are on every birth. That little baby that was born today, we had prayer for. That baby, the eyes of God were on that child when it was born. They're there at a wedding. I'm going to Georgia in December to the wedding of my best friend's granddaughter. She's the sweetest child I've known her since she was born. God will be there. He's at the funeral of all his people. Now, I go to a lot of funerals. God's not there. I mean, he's there, but they don't know it. But when God's saints die, his people come together to celebrate their homegoing. Because God's on the throne. He. Whether you're in an earthquake. We don't have any earthquakes around here, but we could have one. But we have lots of storms. Whether you're in an earthquake or a storm, or maybe it's the quietest time you can ever remember. God's there. God's there. Fourthly, God's providence is constant and uniform. You know, what God does in one scene balances exactly what he does in another. Every time he gives somebody a victory, somebody gets a defeat. Every time somebody increases, somebody else decreases. God's got this thing all balanced. I used to always be amazed when I think about the stars and the planets and how God had all this stuff balanced. Listen, he goes a lot farther than that. He's got every life in this world balanced. It is hard for us to grasp, but God's providence is always unified. The weather may not suit you today, but it suits God fine. God's dealings with Joseph are a bold picture of his providence. He was with Joseph when he was out there taking care of his daddy's sheep. And he was with Joseph when he went down to see his brothers. And he was with Joseph when they sold him into slavery. And he was with Joseph in the slave market in Egypt. And he was with Joseph when he was in the soldier's house. And he was with him when his wife lied and they put him in prison. And he was there when he interpreted the dreams and the men failed to tell the Pharaoh about him. And he was there when Pharaoh heard about him. And he was there when he saw the wisdom of Joseph and exalted him and made him the highest man in the land. And he was with Joseph when he died. Tomorrow's Ruth's birthday. God was with her when she was born. He was with her when she was a teenager. He was with her when she was a young wife. When she was a mother. He's been with her now. She's a grandmother. One of these days, if God's willing, she'll be a great-grandmother. Pretty amazing for a 39-year-old woman, don't you think? If Joseph had never been in the pit, he would have never sat on the throne of Egypt. If you'd never gone through some of your trials and your troubles, you'll never stand with him in heaven. 1,000 chances, and they all work together to accomplish his purpose. Providence seems to be adverse to the mortal mind. We can't understand God. That which is corrupt is ugly when you look at the wrong side of it. I was in Nicholasville the other day, and there was a fellow who had a stand set up on the side of the road and had all these rugs hanging. He had these rugs for sale. And it reminded me of something, talks about the scriptures. You look at the backside of a Persian carpet, it's the ugliest thing you've ever seen. Threads and stitches, this, there, and everywhere. But you lay it down and flatten it out, and it's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. That's the way life is. Heaven will reveal the right side of all God's dealings. Now, we sometimes think we know what's going on. And Hillary and Donald are assuring us that they know what's going on and what's going to happen. And other people seem to think they know what's going on. I'm going to tell you something. Heaven's going to be a big surprise if everybody gets there. I think it was John Newton that said that you'll be surprised at three things. One, first of all, the people that are there that you didn't think would be. Secondly, the ones who are not there that you thought would be. And thirdly, that you're there. Brilliant engineering looks simple to the casual observer. See that watch? It looks like a watch. You know, it's not pretty. It's kind of ugly. It's got numbers on it. I heard a fellow, they say he got a new watch. And he said it's got numbers on it. But I don't know what time it is. You always had a digital watch. This is one of the most complicated devices that you can imagine. This watch has got dozens, I don't know how many gears inside of it. And it stays all synced up. And it keeps almost perfect time. I won't once a year change the setting by a minute or so. That's the way a watch is. You just look at it and use it. And that's the way history is in God's hands. And then God compares his sovereign providence to the seas. Look at verse 16. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a barrel, and they four had one likewise, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Barrel in the Bible is oftentimes used in reference to seas and oceans. It's a bluish-green color. And when we think about the oceans have inspired 1,000 songs in men's hearts. They look at the ocean and they're just amazed by the massiveness of it and the unending boundaries of it. And they're moving to write songs. The oceans have carried many ships. You realize how many million ships are on the oceans right now? But they don't ever wear out. The oceans are still functioning just like they were when God made them. But they're a very small part of God's providential purpose. I sat on the banks of the Atlantic Ocean and looked out there and thought, man, there's no end to that thing. But there is. I've sat on the banks of the Pacific and I've looked out over the ocean. There's no end to this thing. But there is. Providence, like the seas, is never still. It's always moving. Night and day, the restless billows are like a hymn of glory. They sing to the praise of God. Providence never stops. Its mighty wheels continue to turn. Providence is like the oceans, and it cannot be managed by feeble humanity. I'm always amused. I really am. I get tickled by the stupidity of people. Everybody talks about what a wonderful place New Orleans, Louisiana is. I've been down there a few times. And people always say, I want to move to New Orleans. It's just the prettiest place. Why would you want to live in a place that they got to build a wall 40 foot high all the way around it to keep the ocean out? And they got a lake on the north side of New Orleans that it's about 5 miles across that thing. And if Lake Pontchartrain or the ocean, either one, breaks through the walls, the city is gone. God sends floods to convey his message to humanity. They're never restrained or ruled by carnal flesh. Providence follows God's design purpose. Man proposes, but God disposes all things according to his purpose. Then the sixth thing, the providence of God is intricate. It's intricate. The appearance of the wheels and their work is like barrel. It just looks like water flowing. You know, Joseph brought his son to Jacob's deathbed to have them blessed. But God changed the intended pattern. Genesis 48:19, his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. Joseph tried to put his father's hands on the appointed son, but his father crossed his hands because it was God's will. It was God's will. And God overturned Joseph's will according to his purpose. And I'll tell you something, God will overturn your will according to his purpose. We doubt and we question, but God knows exactly what he intends to do. We honor God by trusting him in all things. I hope most of you, most of the young folks look like stayed home today, but we've got a lot of older, either senior citizens or soon to be senior citizens here, or thinking about being senior citizens. And we honor God by trusting him. I trust God more than I ever have. I absolutely do. The wicked and the righteous both try to unravel God's knots, and they can't. They can't. God will destroy wicked men and women who are prosperous in his day of justice. You see, I think Donald and Hillary are both dishonest. I think they're both rascals. And I'm telling you, God will bring justice to bear in both their cases. He will bless and honor the downtrodden, however, in their misery. Our friend Mr. Q is over in the hospital, bad physical condition. His family's concerned. But whether he lives or dies in God's purpose. And God will bless it. In the providence of God, seventhly, is always correct. It's always correct. These wheels always went straight. It says verse 17, when they went upon their four wheels, and they turned not when they went. They didn't turn. They had four faces. They go that way, that way, that way, that way, that way, that way, that way. They just go straight. These wheels are like God's providence. Man has many plans that fail. But God's plans are always successful. Always. He has a plan to begin, and he has the same plan to complete at the end. What God starts, he always finishes. exactly the way he aimed to. You know, God never changes. He doesn't. It's impossible for deity to vary. The fickle views of religion that we have are just deadly and devastating. The heathen have an insufficient vision of God's majesty. God never changes. And the providence of God is amazing. Look at verse 18. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. Say, what does that mean, preacher? I have no idea. But it sounds pretty amazing. Those who feel God's hand must confess the wonders of His providence. The works of God overwhelm all evil. They reign over all nations. These works of evil. We have wars on every hand. We have plagues. We have diseases we thought we wiped out 50 years ago, and they come back. There's crime all over the world. And they all come together to produce God's intended result. On this point, intellectuals and fools have debated forever. No man has the intelligence to see God's hand until it moves. You know, there might be two roads to a city, but providence always guides to one or the other. There may just be a discrepancy between man's will and God's purpose. You know, I see a sparkle of dust in the air. Wind gets up. Was yesterday. See a dust or a piece of chaff come off some hay. And you wonder, what's that for? I don't know. But God has purpose in it. He steers hay chaff just as much as He does stars and constellations. There's no standing point between this and atheism. You either believe in the providence of God or you don't. And then the providence of God overflows with wisdom. The last part of that 18th verse says, they were dreadful and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. You know, I'm a Calvinist. I don't know if you know what that means. It really doesn't make any difference. But a Calvinist is not a fatalist. Somebody told me that when they said, you're one of those Calvinists. You believe whatever's going to happen is going to happen. I said, no, what you're talking about is a fatalist. They believe what's going to happen is going to happen whether it happens or not. I said, I am a Calvinist. And I believe God's going to do exactly what He aimed to do. Fate is whatever it must be. Let me ask you a question. It's September the 11th. Can anybody here tell me how many times we're going to have snow this year and how deep it's going to get? You can't tell me now. You can't tell me in December. And the only way you'll be able to tell me in next April is because winter will be over with. Providence is whatever God ordains it must be. If God wants it to snow on the 4th of July, or get your shovel out. If He wants it to be 100 in the shade on Christmas Day, or turn your air conditioner on. Everything in this world is working for some great end. If anything goes wrong, don't worry about it. God will correct it. He will. In His own time and His own way. The sovereignty of God is the difference between fate and providence. Fate's a blind thing. It ignores all logic. Providence is like a rolling river. It's moving and changing things constantly. It works all things together for our good and God's glory. And finally, the tenth thing about God's providence I want you to see is that the sovereign purpose of God in providence is unconquerable and it's achievable. You know, in times of distress, you must recognize that providence is full. You know, I can only see one thing. I can only see what I'm looking at. But God sees all things. He sees all things. Things look good today to us, but what will tomorrow bring? God takes the destruction out of all the troubles of the saints. If trouble comes your way tomorrow, in the purpose and providence of God, He has a reason for it. And that'll be to His glory and to your blessing. God takes the destruction out of all our troubles. If you're troubled or distressed, and I know some of you are, look up to God's throne. He's the King. Christians are pardoned. They have no excuse for misery. There's no reason for us to be miserable. Rejoice, Paul said to the Philippians. And again he said, rejoice. We're cast down and we're brokenhearted in this world and in this flesh. But God will lift us up. When everything around us seems to be out of control and erratic, remember and rejoice that God is controlling everything in the universe, everything. We must understand that the Spirit of God will give us calm hearts when the storms of life are blowing. Give thanks that God sits on the throne of universal authority. Not man, not Satan, not some unknown influence, not some Martian alien. God reigns. And when everything seems to be out of your control and out of your ability, rejoice that it does not have to be because God is on his throne. I want to close with these words from an old hymn. He that has made his refuge God shall find a more secure abode, shall walk all day beneath his shade, and there at night shall rest their heads. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of light.